I was standing outside the gymnasium as the last class of the day let out, leaning against the wall on my elbows, my feet crossed at the heels, my head hanging down, my wheeled bucket and mop standing unused a good 7 feet away, pretty much the picture of an industrious janitor. The kids went hurrying by in a rowdy herd, with Irwin's tormentors being the last to leave the gym. I felt their eyes on me as they went past, but I didn't react to them. Coach Vogan came out last, flicking out the banks of fluorescent lights as he went, his footsteps brisk and heavy. He came to a dead stop as he came out of the door and found me waiting for him. There was a long moment of silence while he sized me up. I let him. I wasn't looking for a fight, and I had taken the deliberately relaxed and non-confrontational stance I was in to convey that concept to him. I figured he was connected to the supernatural world, but I didn't know how connected he might be. Hell, I didn't even know if he was human. Yet. "Don't you have work to do?" he demanded. "Doing it," I said. "I mean, obviously." I couldn't actually hear his eyes narrow, but I was pretty sure they did. "You got a lot of nerve, buddy, talking to an instructor like that." "If there weren't all these kids around, I might have said another syllable or two," I drawled. "Coach Vogan." "You're about to lose your job, buddy. Get to work, or I'll report you for malingering."
"Malingering?" I said. "4 whole syllables. You're good."
He rolled another step toward me and jabbed a finger into my chest.
"Buddy, you're about to buy a whole lot of trouble. Who do you think you are?"
"Harry Dresden," I said. "Wizard." And I looked at him as I opened my sight. A wizard's sight is an extra sense, one that allows him to perceive the patterns of energy and magic that suffuse the universe, energy that includes every conceivable form of magic. It doesn't actually open a third eye in your forehead or anything, but the brain translates the perceptions into the visual spectrum. In the circles I run in, the sight shows you things as they truly are, cutting through every known form of veiling magic, illusion, and other mystic chicanery. In this case, it showed me that the thing standing in front of me wasn't human. Beneath its illusion, the spindly, humanoid creature stood a little more than 5 feet high, and it might have weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. It was naked, and anatomically, it resembled a Ken doll. Its skin was a dark gray, its eyes absolutely huge, bulbous, and midnight black. It had a rounded, high-crowned head and long, delicately pointed ears. I could still see the illusion of Coach Pete around the creature, a vague and hazy outline. It lowered the lids of its bulbous eyes, the gesture somehow exceptionally lazy, and then nodded slowly. It inclined its head the smallest measurable amount possible and murmured in a melodious and surprisingly deep voice, "Wizard." I blinked a few times and waved my sight away so that I was facing Coach Pete again.
"We should talk," I said.
The apparent man stared at me unblinkingly, his expression as blank as a discarded puppet's. It was probably my imagination that made his eyes look suddenly darker.
"Regarding?"
"Irwin Pounder," I said. "I would prefer to avoid a conflict with Svartalfheim." He inhaled and exhaled slowly through his nose.
"You recognized me."
In fact, I'd been making an educated guess, but the Svartalf didn't need to know that. I knew precious little about the creatures. They were extremely gifted craftsmen and were responsible for creating most of the really cool artifacts of Norse myth. They weren't wicked, exactly, but they were ruthless, proud, stubborn, and greedy, which often added up to similar results. They were known to be sticklers for keeping their word, and God help you if you broke yours to them. Most important, they were a small, supernatural nation unto themselves, one that protected its citizens with maniacal zeal. "I had a good teacher," I said. I want your boys to lay off Irwin Pounder.
Point of order, he said. They are not mine. I am not their progenitor. I am a guardian only.
Be that as it may, I said. My concern is for Irwin, not the brothers.
He is a whetstone, he said. They sharpen their instincts upon him. He is good for them.
They aren't good for him, I said. Fix it.
It is not my place to interfere with them, Coach Pete said. Only to offer indirect guidance and to protect them from anyone who would interfere with their growth.